ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
And what happens is, a lot of people who are going through very difficult times, they think all the bad that happens to them is some kind of satanic plot to destroy their earthly happiness. And so you have to rebuke the devil so that they can enjoy those blessings once again. You see, in their mind, God exists to make them happy, to bless them. And the focus is on all kinds of material things. You know, God's here to make us holy. And it doesn't always make us happy. That's just the reality. You see, the opposite end of the spectrum here is the spiritual believer whose focus is on the eternal instead of laying up treasures on this earth. And I think that's important. You know, denying yourself, focusing on the Lord, representing the Lord on this earth. And trials are necessary for spiritual growth and development. Not some kind of satanic plot. It's part of God's plan to help equip us to serve the Lord. And I wish it was easy. You know, I wish even with physical exercise. I mean, even with that, don't you have to push yourself? Or you just plateau? You have to keep going farther. That's what I do with my running. You know, I push myself to go farther, to go faster. Spiritually speaking, this is what James is really all about. He's pushing us to go farther, to grow in the Lord, to mature in the Lord. And when you fall into various trials, not if you fall into them, you're gonna. They're gonna come. It doesn't matter if you agree with that or not. They are all around us, these trials. And so how do we handle ourselves through them? Several years ago, the Presbyterian pastor Lloyd-John Ogilvie underwent one of the worst years of his life. His wife had undergone 5 major surgeries, plus radiation and chemotherapy. Several of his staff members had departed. Large problems loomed, and discouragement assaulted his feelings. But this is what he wrote. "The greatest discovery that I have made in the midst of all the difficulties is that I can have joy when I can't feel like it. Artesian joy. When I had every reason to feel beaten, I felt joy. In spite of everything, God gave me the conviction of being loved and the certainty that nothing could separate me from Him. It was not happiness, gush, or jolliness, but a constant flow of the Spirit through me. At no time did He give me the easy confidence that everything would work out as I wanted it on my timetable. But He was in charge and would give me and my family enough courage for each day. Grace. Joy is always the result of that." Wow. Yes, trials are going to come in our lives. And we're to count these trials with joy. And that's the craziest thing when you think about it. It doesn't seem rational. We tend to think of escaping trials brings joy into our lives. James is saying, no, when you're going through them, that should bring joy to your life. Why? Because that's where we grow. 1 Peter 1, verses 6 through 9. "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." See, here's the thing. Trials help us to grow, and they show that our faith is real. Remember in Job, all that Job went through. In Job 1:22, it says, "In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong." Wow, that's a tough one. I mean, he lost a lot. But here's the thing. You can let trials make you bitter, or you can make them better, or you can let them make you better in the Lord. And again, the word trials is the same Greek word that's used for temptations. And that's a tough one. Because, you know, in James 1:13, it says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I'm tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." So temptations, being tempted, is not from God. The trials are. What's the difference? Trials are to mature you, to help you to grow, to make you better. Temptations is what Satan puts out to cause you to sin. One draws you close to God, the trials, and one pushes you away from God, the temptations. Because when you fail, you think, "I'm done. God doesn't love me anymore. I failed. I blew it. How could he love me?" Well, okay. Let me just put this out there. If God's love for me, for you, was based on how good we are, we're all doomed. It's not based on how good we are. It's based on how good he is. And here's that great comfort. He loves us unconditionally. If we've come to Christ, we're a child of God. And I guarantee you, God does not tear up the adoption papers. Praise God for that. So God doesn't tempt us, but he will bring trials into our lives to strengthen our faith. And again, Satan will use that same trial to exploit it so we might sin. He's going to tempt us. There's a huge difference. Job didn't sin, didn't charge God, didn't bring it against God for all that happened in his life. But remember what Job's wife said. It's kind of interesting because it's the exact opposite. She said to her husband, Job, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." Wow. Thanks, hon. I feel so much better. Obviously, she did not have the ministry of encouragement, obviously. But look at the different response to what? The same situation. Satan brought this temptation into the life of Job. But he had to go to God, who allowed this trial in Job's life to strengthen him. She sinned with her lips. He praised God. Same situation. Interesting. And I guess the issue is, can we count it all joy as these trials come upon our life, knowing that God has a reason, a purpose, and we might not always understand what it is, but can we trust in him? And that's a hard one. I'll just be honest with you. You know, you're in the midst of a trial and you just, "Lord, why is this happening?" Can we trust in what God has said? Remember what Paul wrote in Hebrews 11:1, and this is from the Amplified Bible. "Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses." So I may not see it. I may not feel it. But I know that all things work together for good to those who know the Lord, those who are called according to his purpose. I know that because my faith is in God and his promises to me and his word. So can we trust him as we're going through these trials? When you're going through a difficult time, it's not that God has forgotten you or, you know, he's mad at you. You're going through a trial to help you look at your life, examine your heart, help you to grow and mature in the faith. In fact, Romans 8:28, again, this is from the Amplified Bible. "We are assured to know that God being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose." It's all working out for a plan. Now, here's the thing. God knows everything, right? He knows the beginning from the end. I just know what's happening here and now. That's it. I can try and predict what's going to happen, but a lot of times it's just a 50-50 chance, right? Those are really good odds. But God knows it perfectly. So he allows things in our life to help us to grow. It's kind of like, you know, the back of a tapestry. Look at a back of a tapestry, and it's just a mess. It's just, you know, yarn just all over the place on the back. There's no picture. But you turn it over to the other side, and it's amazing. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. We're looking at life from the back of the tapestry, and we go, oh my gosh, what's going on? I think when we get into heaven and we look at the front part of it, we go, wow, Lord, amazing what you did. How about trusting him here and now? Don't wait till you get to heaven. Just trust him. Okay, Lord, I don't get it, but I'm going to trust in you. I mean, whole thing with these elections. Does anyone get this? All that went on? All the corruption that's going on? Does anyone get that? No. So what's going to happen? I don't know. But he does. The Lord knows everything. Can I trust whatever comes out of this thing, whether I like it or not, can I trust in the Lord? And that's what he's saying. You have to trust me. I have a plan and I have a purpose. And again, it doesn't mean that we just throw our hands up in the air and go, okay, sarah, sarah, whatever will be, will be. No, we continue doing the things that God has called us to do, but we don't let things move us. In fact, like Paul said when he was going to go to Jerusalem, and everywhere he went, people were saying, don't go, chains await you, don't go to Jerusalem. And he goes, none of these things move me. None of these things are going to move me from what God has called me to do. Can we say that? No matter how hard it may get, I hope so. Because all things work together. And in the Greek, the word all, do you know what all it means? Thank you. You guys are catching on with me now. It means all, absolutely. Everything that you are going through is for a purpose. They're all working out for good in our lives. And even though we don't see it. Warren Wiersbe again put it like this. Our values determine our evaluations. If we value comfort more than character, then trials will upset us. If we value the material and physical more than the spiritual, we will not be able to count it all joy. If we live only for the present and forget the future, the trials will make us bitter, not better. That's a great perspective to have. Perspective is everything. And as we read on, we'll see what God is doing in our lives as these various trials come upon us. How are they working in our lives? What's happening? How are they affecting us? Are we growing? Look at verse 3 here in James 1. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or endurance, perseverance. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, mature, and complete, lacking nothing. This is what God is doing in our lives as we fall into these various trials. And in the Greek, the word for knowing, gnosko, speaks of knowing something more than just information or facts, but knowing from a personal experience. You see, it's trusting in God in the present situation that you're facing, knowing how he took care of you in the past. That is important, looking at what God has done in the past and various things that you went through, to give you confidence in the present situations that you're facing. Isaiah 33:6, wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. You see, wisdom and knowledge, it brings stability in our lives. Wisdom and knowledge of who? The Lord, through his word. Knowing the truths of God, applying them to our lives. How important that is. And we'll see next time when we continue on in James, as he tells us in James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Man, we should have that posted on the refrigerator door, wherever, right? Do any of us ever lack wisdom? I'll put up both hands. James says, just ask God. He wants to give it to you. And I can't tell you over the years, you know, God has been very, very specific in some things with the wisdom he's given me, telling me what I needed to do. Many times and I didn't want to do it because it was difficult, but very specific. I lacked wisdom and he said, hey, this is what you need to do. anything else up there? You got another idea? No, you want me to do that one. Okay. And he was right on every time. Imagine that. That's our God. And faith, how does faith grow? Think about it. How does our faith grow? Faith comes by hearing, Paul said in Romans 10:17, and hearing by the word of God. So our faith begins by hearing the word of God, and it continues on our entire life as we read God's word and we apply God's word to our life. Wow, I like that. Our faith grows as we read and apply God's word. And through these trials, what God is working out is he gives us patience, active endurance. And each time we face a trial, as we endure through it, our endurance is strengthened. It grows. Why? Because we're depending on the Lord and less on our own strength. Being steadfast, immovable in a trial just shows that we're trusting in the Lord and his promises. I think it's important for us to not respond too quickly in situations, but to seek the Lord, to rest in him, to have that patience. Because, you know, I don't know about you, but I know for me, I'm ready to jump in. You know, here we go. Let's fix this. Let's do this. Let's say this to this person. And sometimes God just says, be patient. See, I'll show you what you need to do, but not yet. And again, remember in Hebrews 12, after in Hebrews 11, Paul spoke about this tremendous cloud of witnesses, men and women of faith from the Old Testament. Paul said, since we're surrounded by this cloud of witnesses, hey, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let's run with endurance the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. So looking at men and women of faith in the scriptures can be an encouragement to us. Reading of great men and women of faith in our day could also encourage us. You see, it's not just the Old Testament or the New Testament. It's Christians today and how they lived out their faith, what the things that they did. There's so many lessons we can learn from them. And we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author of our faith, or the one who set the trail for us to follow and the finisher of our faith. He sees us through to the end. Well, isn't that great? What happens in the middle? He's with us. He's set the trail for us to follow, the things that he's going to do in our lives, and we just need to walk accordingly. Keep our eyes upon him. And David said in Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. Oh, just waiting upon God, seeking him and the comfort that he brings during those times, difficult times. And it causes us then to just break forth with praise to him. And others will see it. Maybe they'll come to saving faith through it. And again, God is just testing our faith. Peter says in 1 Peter 5:10, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. We see this over and over. I know that, you know, today that Christians don't want to hear about suffering. But don't you want to know if this is what we're going to endure in this life? Absolutely. You know, pastors and teachers who just speak about life being, you know, great and never having any problems? How does that make you feel? It's like, I don't know who he's talking to. I go through things all the time. What's happening? You see, it's not correct. Look at the men and women from the Old Testament, all that they suffered through. Look at the New Testament and what they suffered through. Look at the men and women from the close of the Scriptures onward to our day who have suffered. That's just the reality. And God uses that to perfect us and establish and strengthen us and settle us. So we face these trials with joy because we have faith in God and His Word. He's good. There's no darkness in Him at all. And that's what we got to keep in mind. People have a very poor outlook about our God. They see devastation, wars, and all kinds of things, and they blame God for it. Did God cause those wars? No. That's man's heart. It's evil. That's not how God created us. Well, what's He doing about it? Oh, He's already done it. He sent His Son to die for our sins. And if we come to that saving faith, He'll give us a heart transplant and change our lives. We'll be a new creation in Christ. Well, I don't want that. Well, go ahead and continue on warring and fighting and all these other things. And in the end, you won't have to worry about being around God because you'll be eternally separated from Him. Wow. That's the truth. That's the perspective. Now, as we're going through these trials, we need again to turn to the Lord. Sometimes Christians reach out to non-Christians in situations that they're facing and look for advice, look for wisdom. That's a foolish thing to do because they're going to give worldly wisdom. Well, why do Christians do that? Because that's what they want to hear. They don't want to hear what God has to say because it's going to be tough and it's not what they want to do. That's exactly what we need to do. God is an amazing God. He does amazing, amazing things in our lives. And obviously, I said we're not going to finish up this chapter. Next week we will. The rest of the chapter from verses 5 through verse 27. But I think it's important that we understand how important these trials are in our lives. Let me close with these words for you to think about. We're told life on earth would not be worth much if every source of irritation were removed. Yet most of us rebel against the things that irritate us and count as heavy loss what ought to be rich gain. Absolutely. Absolutely. He goes on, we are told that the oyster is wiser, that when an irritating object like a bit of sand gets under the mantle of his shell, he simply covers it with the most precious part of his being and makes of it a pearl. The irritation that it was causing is stopped by encrusting it with the pearly formation. A true pearl is therefore simply a victory over irritation. Every irritation that gets into our lives today is an opportunity for pearl culture. The more irritations the devil flings at us, the more pearls we may have. We need only to welcome them and cover them completely with love, the most precious part of us, and the irritation will be smothered out as the pearl comes into being. What a store of pearls we may have if we will. I think that's a really good perspective to have. Difficulties are going to come to pass in our lives. And sometimes it's like, oh my gosh, what's going on now? I mean, for me, and I've seen this with other pastors, you know, things are going well. And all of a sudden something comes up. Oh, you get through that. Things are going well again. And, you know, it's awesome, awesome. And something else comes up. Yeah, that happens in all of our lives. James says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Oh, may we do that. Count it all joy. Lord, what are you doing? What do you want me to see? What do I need to look at in my own heart, my own life? And that's really this whole book of James is taking a look, good look in the mirror and seeing, okay, Lord, this is what I need to change. I need your help because I want to grow in my walk with you. I want you to be manifested in my life. I want less of me, more of you. I want people to see Jesus, and I don't want to get in the way. And that's what James is really all about. Let them see Jesus in you. Get rid of these other things that are clouding it up and messing it up, and let them see Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this evening. And Lord, the whole book of James is a challenging book to me, and I'm sure to everyone. It's just how we are to live out our Christian faith, how we're to shine for you. Help us to learn these lessons, not just head knowledge, but, Lord, the application. We want to grow in you. We want to mature in the faith. We want people to see Jesus in us, that they may come to that saving faith. Thank you, Lord, for being so patient and understanding, continually working in our lives and helping us to grow in you. And Lord, as always, help us to surrender totally to you. A bondservant of Christ, freely giving our life to you, Lord, to be used for your glory. We thank you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.